Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. I'm Danny Ruye. Thom Daly is in studio. Brendan Dar is also kind of in studio, but he's down the hall. He's wearing a mask. I'd love for you guys to tweet out pictures, by the way, of kind of the scene there. I'd love to see just sort of what the heck's going on. Grant, we are endeavoring to get him connected. We're having a gremlin-type issue with his connection down the line. But we got a good show for you today. Will Brinson will join us at 1 p.m. You heard in the update from Pete Metters. Ron Rivera spoke yesterday. I mean, he's got a little of that, I'm going to tell you something. Like he pretends that, pretends not the right word, but he gives you some nuggets. You're going to get information, but it's all calculated. He sort of lets you in as if he's giving you some sort of state secret, but then you realize that there's a whole lot brewing behind the scenes. And we'll go through a lot of his audio today. Thom and Brendan did a great job chopping those things up, and you heard one of those cuts already. It sounds like they already know what they're going to do at number two. They're sort of teasing it. Ron Rivera has not traded down when he's been a guy that's been in charge of an organization. You go back in his Carolina history. So we sort of have some clues as to what's happening. We had some Clinton Portis out audio for you as well. We'll do that at 10:30. What he said yesterday about what the Redskins should do at number two. Got to go through some Major League Baseball potential rule changes or adaptations, maybe temporary, for this coming year if and when they do get to playing. Whole bunch of stuff to come on the program. But good morning. This is day whatever the hell it is. I by the way, this has felt Friday-ish to me. I mean, last week I was convinced that it was earlier in the week than it was. When it was Friday, I was stunned by it. This week I kind of looked up because I did the Sunday show with our buddy Pete Metters, and then sort of the week has progressed. This week has felt really, really, really long. So the Eric Bickle, every day is the same. We'll probably be able to play that sound drop a million times over. But here's where we wanted to start the show this morning. A little bit of fun before we get into Ron Rivera and other matters of import in sport. And it's this. Grant had this idea, and I thought this was fun. And again, we'll have him on hopefully sooner rather than later. He had this idea that I thought was really good. And this is where I want to start. I want Thom to chime in. Dar, I want you to chime in as well on this. One of these things where we're all so busy, right? Everybody's got a million things going on in their lives. If you have kids, if you don't, you know, you go to work, you're exhausted, you want to work out, you want to eat healthy, you want to, you know, have all these different projects and things. And we end up doing only about a 1/1,000,000,000th of it. And we marvel at these people that have boundless amounts of energy that while doing one thing, they started another thing, and then that became their thing, and then they're billionaires. We always marvel at these people that seem to have unlimited resources, unlimited time, unlimited energy, and the like. And we dream about being like these people, and we end up not being like these people. This experience, while we're all sort of at home with, you know, if you're like me and you've got kids, you don't really have the exact amount of time that you thought you did, but you still have more at your disposal, I would say, than if you have to commute into the office and park and or metro or do whatever else, right? So the idea is, what's the thing that you always said you'd do if you had time? The thing you always said you would do, man, if I only had enough time, I would do this. And now you've got some time, and you still haven't done it. You said you would do it, and you still haven't done it. 800-636-1067. This is one of those, You're going to feel good because you're going to laugh at yourself, but you're also going to feel bad. You're going to feel like a little bit of a lazy bones. You're going to feel like a little bit of a you-know-what because you thought you would do something special. You thought you'd do something special, and you're not doing it. I can give you some examples, certainly, but I want to hear from you guys. 800-636-1067. We'll have Pete Metters jump in here in a moment. I'll get the ball rolling just to give you an idea, okay? This is dorky, but I always have said for years, okay, that I would start a Twitch channel. I've never understood the appeal of it. I don't watch other people's Twitch channels. I don't watch people play video games. I'm 40. My generation, guys and gals that were raised in my sort of age demographic, the idea of not playing and watching someone else do it stinks. I've never understood the appeal of it. But something that I think that I could do is I'm nowhere near as good as these like pro gamers and people that do it and do like walkthroughs and are awesome and fun about it. But I feel like I could just do some shtick. I could die a bunch in the games, or I could, you know, fumble my way through stuff. But I feel like I could be mildly entertaining just talking to myself while I do this. And I could build up a subscriber base. I've always thought I would do it. I am no closer to having a Twitch channel today than I was 10 years ago or whenever the damn platform was invented. Let's bring in Grant Paulson, who I believe we have available to us through the miracle of radio technology. GP, you here?
Hello, Daniel. How are
hey,
you, buddy?
I'm okay, my friend. I'm glad you made it.
Well, I am too. We're going to see how long I made it for. Look, the home shows have gone swimmingly to this point. Knock on wood, everything's been fairly seamless. Today was the day that stopped being the case, and this is the new way of the world. So this is potentially what's going to happen. Mm. And we had Clinton Portis on yesterday, and he said he's become a chef and a maid, and he's doing all these different things. Well, we are now engineers as well. So I think, even though I have no skills and my hands are the softest, I mean the
very
baby's
soft
bottom
hands.
Soft, I just started unscrewing and screwing things back in. I use an antenna and some kind of like 5G cell phone technology, and I came up with the solution that maybe it's loose and I'm going to unscrew it and screw it back in. And I went from like 44% of the strength I'm receiving to about 92%.
I'd like to
say 100, but right now it's saying that big fat Albert Hainsworth, 92%. So we'll put my engineering skills to the test here and see what happens, I suppose.
Love it, dude. My engineering is usually I unplug it and plug it back in and wait for something to happen. So this is your topic, my friend. The thing that you said that you would do if you only had enough time, that you thought you would do, and you're going, this is a blessing in disguise, this whole stay-at-home thing. Let me do my pet project, and you haven't done it. My first example, and I think you'll relate to this very, very well, is a hardcore video game player. But I thought I would start
a
Twitch channel.
I loved it.
Yeah, I have not done
anything. But did
you
actually think that? You really thought at some point, you're like,
yes,
man, if I only had more time, I would have a Twitch channel.
100%, because I'm gaming anyway, right? I love playing video games. It's my release. It's my mental shutdown, even though like it requires a lot of, you know, active mental skill to solve a lot of these puzzles and do some of the things in modern gaming. That's my release. That's my, you know, my wife watches stupid housewife shows. I do that, right? That's my thing. I'm doing it anyway. And I see all these people out there that are millionaires because of it. I had no aspirations of being a millionaire, but I was like, if this can entertain people and introduce folks to our show, to me, whatever, in some kind of way that we'd reach a new audience, I should absolutely be doing this. All it takes is some effort. All it takes is effort. And I haven't put in the effort.
And that's kind of why I came up with this, is
yes,
we have all for years said all we need is time. We're too busy. We've got to get the kids to practice, and we've got to take care of our loved one. And, you know, then we got to take care of number one. But if I only had a chance to just sit back for a couple of weeks and no pressure from the world and the opportunity to be at home, I would blank. And maybe it's fixing something around your house. It's the ceiling fan in your bathroom that hasn't worked in 2 years or something like that. For me, I always said, I'm a reader. I read things. I like reading books.
Good
I just
reader.
Don't have the time anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I used to read all the time, even though I think I remember that a little differently than it probably was. I've probably read a handful of books that I got really into and call myself a reader.
You read that book that time, yeah.
Right. If you're like you drive in a car and once you raced a guy off the line when you were like 17 at a stoplight, it doesn't mean you're a racer. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
So I view myself for some reason as a reader. I'm a guy that if I just had some time at night and if I didn't have cable, which right now I've gone completely unplugged with no sports. I always said I would. So give me some credit for that one. I have no cable right now. I would spend the evenings before bed, almost like an electricity-less world, laying there reading a sports documentary of my choice each night. I have not read one page of one book. Not one. I have had hours of boredom. I have twiddled my thumbs doing nothing for probably all told like a day at this point of the last few weeks, maybe 24 total hours. I have just walked around looking for things to do. I've spent more time walking around a lake counting turtles, true story, than I've spent doing anything productive over the last week. And I haven't read one page of one book. So I'm a liar. If only I had time, I would read, Danny. I have time. I'm not reading. It's not happening.
That's one of those when I think everybody, every dude, once they have kids, basically chooses inadvertently or just through circumstance or whatever, certain things that you just give up. And you don't realize, you don't know that going in. They never tell you this. It's all about, going to the Le Mans classes for breathing, and it's all about, these number days, changing the diaper, whatever your routine is getting set. Nobody tells you this kind of stuff, and this is what I wish people had told me. You're going to sacrifice certain things. Obviously, very willingly, you went in eyes open. You're dedicated now to this new life form that you made and you're responsible for, and I would take that bargain every time. But the two things that I gave up that I didn't know I was going to give up, I don't go to the movies anymore. I love going to movies, and I haven't done it basically in 6 years with a couple exceptions. Like when the big Marvel movie comes out and a Star Wars movie comes out, I get dispensation to go. But other than that, I feel like I can't use my nights out for that, right? I get so few of them. It's either a date with my wife or a stand-up show. That's pretty much what I do. That's one, and reading books. I was a voracious reader. I loved reading so much. I still do, I suppose, but I can't prove it because I don't do it anymore. I don't read books. I read articles and columns and blogs for the show. And that's my reading. I no longer read for pleasure. I haven't done it in years.
So my wife and I originally met years ago on Twitter, and in one of our first conversations she references all the time is a discussion we had where we were like talking about things we did, and I had mentioned, when we were talking back and forth how I like to read sports books, basically. And she now jokes that she's never seen me read once, and I was lying to impress her. The fact is, I actually did used to read. I just don't anymore. There was a time when I did that, but we can open up the phones on this right now at 800-636-1067. There's a lot to get to today and plenty on the sports front, including what Clinton Portis said about wanting Isaiah Simmons over Chase Young. We can talk about that at 10:30. Pretty stunning comment from him yesterday. In the 11 o'clock hour at 11:18, Major League Baseball is trying to get a variation of its sport going with some quirky rules. Which of those new rules might be of most interest to the mass audience? All coming up on Grant and Danny. But right now, you've said for a long time, you would do what if you had the time? Maybe it's just a one honeydew item on your list. Maybe it's something much bigger and broader. Are you doing it? 800-636-1067. And what are you not accomplishing that you thought you might during this quarantine? We're Grant and Danny. You're listening to The Fan. He's Danny, I'm Grant, this is The Fan, and you are listening to 106.7 on day whatever of the quarantine. Is anyone keeping track of this? I mean, how many home shows have we done at this point, Danny? I don't even remember what it's like to be in our studio. Dar and Thom are still going in and chopping wood every day, but I would think that we're closing in on like 20 home shows, aren't we?
I have honestly no idea. It's April what, 8th?
Today's the 8th of April, 2020.
I think we started this not long after we got back from spring training, which was the second week in March, right? So this is like week three, or is it week four of this? I don't know, dude. Seriously, it is blending together, running together, doesn't even begin to cover whatever this is.
Yeah, whatever it is, it feels like it's been longer than it probably has been. But we appreciate you listening to GND. What Clinton Portis said about wanting to draft Isaiah Simmons over Chase Young coming up at the bottom of the hour. What is the thing that you always said you might accomplish or do that you're not doing during your stay-at-home order here? 800-636-1067. So, Danny, we know that you have not started a Twitch account like you thought you might. Have you done anything particularly productive that you are proud of that you don't think you would have done otherwise? Some of the things that I see a lot of people doing around town at this point, and if you guys have something, you can tweet us at Grant H. Paulson that you've done you wouldn't have done otherwise. A lot of people got dogs. A lot of people got puppies.
Oh.
Because They knew they were going to be home for a couple of weeks. It's an opportunity to train the dog and be around constantly. Normally that dog needs a lot of tender love and care right away, and you're at work and you got the long hours, so you couldn't have done that. I've also seen a slew of people out while I've been doing my many walks each day because I'm bored out of my mind. I see them with their kids, like teach them how to ride a bike because you're getting some extra dad time, and dad's got you as you try to leave the training wheels behind. I saw TJ Oshie's daughter learn how to ride a bike. And Lauren Oshie, the mother on Instagram, posted finally a little bit late, but you know, better than late than never kind of thing. Right, I think a lot of people are with their kids doing some of those things that maybe you would have done sooner if you had more time, and now they're getting around to it.
Yeah, my arm is sore from, and not just because I'm old, but because I've thrown a million wiffle balls to my eldest. You know, like that kind of stuff is awesome. That's irreplaceable, and that's been the only blessing of this time is sort of some of the extra, you know, sessions with some of the kids. You know, I mean, it's hard for me to take one and go do something because the other needs, you know, something as well usually, and they're very different needs. But you know, I've had some you know, sort of baseball pitchback time, or playing some soccer, or kind of whatever, you know, a little bit of hoops that we've been able to sneak in, or some, you know, one-on-one time with my youngest, figuring out what he wants to do. I mean, you saw that video on Instagram at Humorous Danny of him deciding he wants to hit off the tee, wants to hit just like his big brother, and he's out there just annihilating wiffle balls and denting the shed and all sorts of stuff and just whacking it and just having so much fun doing so, you know. So that's been amazing. But one thing I have done productively, GP, I would say I'll toot my own horn. I've started something and I've kept up with it. Every night I've done kind of ramping up the YouTube channel, something that honestly got
not
my
the
foot
Twitch
in the
channel, but the not, YouTube channel.
Yeah, not the Twitch channel, but something that helped get my foot in the door here at 106.7 The Fan, you know, more than 10 years ago now. I got a little bit of notoriety is the wrong phrase, but it was kind of the time where people were starving for internet content, which sounds funny now because the whole world is inundated with everybody, you know, trying to call for attention. But I did these weekly Redskins, I'm a mad fan type videos, right? And every Redskins blog, and including you know, our friend Rich Tandler would put up my blog or my videos on Real Redskins. Dan Steinberg would put them up. Cindy Boren on the Washington Post and all these different places, and they were getting a lot of hits. You know, the big ones would get a couple hundred thousand. The lower ones would get, you know, 30,000 or 40,000 hits and views, and it was just kind of the right time, and it helped get my foot in the door when Brett, the Junk's producer, let me be a guest the day before Thanksgiving on the Junkies, and that kind of got my whole career here started. So I haven't really used it in some time, but I've been doing these nightly videos, doing some impressions, 30 seconds or less, and that's been a lot of fun. You can find them at Danny Ruye 97 is the channel. But stuff like that I am a little bit proud of, that I've been able to stick with it, but it's not what I thought I would be doing, certainly. I thought I would have all these grandiose projects, and I've done one thing that takes less than 30 seconds every night.
It's just a lot easier not to do the things you said you were going to do. You kind of said that you would do them knowing, well, there's never going to be a pandemic during my life that leads to us all working from home and not being allowed to go anywhere, wearing masks if and when we make our one trip to the grocery store biweekly at this point. Let's go to line one. Benjamin is in Fairfax on Grant and Danny, giving us a call at 800-636-1067. Benjamin, how are you, buddy? Thanks for the ring.
Good, guys. How are you?
Good, pal.
Doing well.
Danny will appreciate this one. I've always intended to get a platinum trophy for Final Fantasy XII and Final Fantasy VIII.
Yes,
I'm like
10
hours into each, and just it stuck there.
Oh,
but
come on.
Bonus one. I know.
Seriously?
But bonus, I did. You'll appreciate this one, too. I learned in After Effects, always wanted to do it, how to add the lightsaber to my my daughter's like fishing rod. And so when she's hitting her mom, it's a lightsaber.
So that's fun. I love that. I actually would like to learn
how
to do that.
Thank you for the nerdiest call in the history of Grant and Dan.
No. Nerd is for school. That's dorky, Grant. Let's make sure
we
clarify there.
And I don't. I hope that didn't come off as mean. Maybe it did. I don't know.
It did a little bit, but we're fine. Us dorks know who we are.
We need the Austin Powers soundbite thommy in the sound machine. Nerd alert, so that I don't have to say it. So it's just a sound clip, and then everyone's better off.
Or mom, we found it. I got, what was the, what's the, why am I blanking on the name
Gallahorn?
Of the thing? Yeah, thank you. I don't know why I couldn't
how
remember
How do I know the name of a Gallahorn and you don't? What is wrong with you?
There's a lot wrong with me. I couldn't remember it. My mental acuity is fading. But the release, Grant, the re-release, the reason he brings that up is because the re-release of one of the greatest games of all time, and that's not hyperbolic, this is true, the greatest role-playing game ever, thank you very much, there it is. Final Fantasy VII is coming out this week. It's the remake on a modern system. People have been waiting for it for years. I pre-ordered this thing in 2015 when they first announced that it was going to happen. It's now 2020.
I pre-ordered it in 2012, actually.
Yeah, I mean, it is forever ago. So everybody's playing the other games as kind of a lead-up to it. So that's why he had this big project in mind, and he gave up after maybe 0.1% through each one of those.
Mom, I got the Galahorn!
Just glad that you got the Galahorn, honey. Call your mom and let her know. Hey, babe, did you get the Galahorn?
Hon, okay, did you get good. It?
Oh, my God.
You had mentioned that you started with your YouTube videos, correct?
Yes. Yeah, man.
It could be said, I think, the history shows that I was one of your bigger supporters of your videos early on in the station, in the history of the station, correct?
I think that's up for a little bit of debate.
Is it?
Yeah, the one because the first one that I remember a reaction to, you and Holden didn't know that I could hear what you guys were saying, and you joned so hard because you kind of didn't get it. You didn't know what it was. You didn't know what I was doing, and it was one of the weeks where I didn't do anything funny. I was just like, I'm sick and tired of this, you know. And that was actually the video that week. And you Joan of Arc'd on that video and me, and you're like, who is this clown? You're like, what is this? That was the initial introduction, and I had like a droopy dog face for a little while because
of it. So I love this story. I don't remember it at all, okay? And I think of myself as a very nice person, and like that's not something I would do. The way I remember it is being shown this video by Holden or who knows who, and just watching it, and as, to your point, like I definitely don't think I must have got what was going on at all. And I just remember thinking, what am I watching? Like, what is this?
Yeah, why is he? And he's here? Like, he's in this building? They've let him inside because of this? This doesn't correlate.
You know what it felt like to me? And I'm just guessing because I do not remember this at all. You've told me, and the reason I brought this up is Danny has said many times that I pummeled him this day. And I just don't remember doing that, and I hope I didn't, and I hope you didn't feel bad. But it reminds me, like, we have people randomly send us a couple of times now these, like, Nats theme songs because – you know, Keith Elgin did a great one for us, and Richmond John is super talented, and we've had a couple people do some stuff for us that we really liked. So, like, these people will send us these CDs to the station with, like, you know, some random Nat song because they heard Fairfax Dan kill it in studio one time. That's, to me, what it was. Like, you know how you feel about those and you just dismiss them outright? That's kind of what it was that day, I'm guessing. I just don't remember. But as soon as I saw some of the really good videos, I think I bought in immediately.
So, again, after the initial, so, like, you were like, what is this? I don't understand him or why he's here. Who let him pass security? How has he gained access? This is terrible. This is wrong. We should nip this kind of thing in the bud and not encourage these psychopaths to be able to, you know, to think that they're more important than they really are.
Your claim is that I didn't want you to have a seat at the table.
Yeah, so then the other ones you saw, you go, oh, I get what he's doing. So this happened to be the one, and now we're so deep into this weird history. But the one that you saw was one, I mean, I would sit there and brainstorm and write down ideas and a bunch of different shots and try to figure out what was funny, try to make a joke each week and, you know, all these different things for these videos that now seem ridiculously long, by the way, just given how our current society is and views things. But whatever, I would, like, put together these four-minute videos, you know, which, like, has a bunch of shots and different jokes in it. And then there's one I was just like, I'm sick and tired of doing this. This sucks. And so I just did that, and that's all I did. And if you didn't follow any of the other videos and that was the only one you saw, you would be like, the amount that this is not special is impossible to quantify. The amount that this doesn't reflect any talent, this is a whiny, pudgy zilch with a bad haircut saying that he's mad. This sucks, and I get it.
I hope I was kind. I hope it's, like, sticky now and it's fun for you to act like I hated it more than I did.
Well, you did. I'll never forget that conversation with you and Holden. Holden was joning, didn't think I could hear.
Was joning. That sounds more like Holden.
You didn't stop it, I'll tell you that. You didn't say, wait, slow down, hold on, let's give him a chance. He belongs just like the rest of us. It was the opposite of that.
Let's give this guy an opportunity here to earn his keep.
This anonymous stranger that's got opinions, he's entitled. You didn't say that.
Oh, boy. Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We are with you until 2 every single day. Make sure you spread the word. G&D here with you throughout this quarantine. We are broadcasting live from our homes. I've actually moved outside today, Danny, because of whatever weird issues we were having.
Neato.
I'm sitting on my deck right now.
It's going to be hot today, buddy.
It's going to be warm. Hopefully the thunderstorms hold off till after 2, or else we're going to have a makeshift studio built in-house sooner than not, probably closer to the president and the dog. than we'd all prefer. But we're going to make it work. That's what we're doing. We are swinging this axe and trees are falling down. You're listening to The Fan. Next, Clinton Portis not only says he wouldn't take Chase Young at two, but there's another defensive player he would take at that spot. This is G&D. Everybody's putting out these graphics now where you have nine choices and you have to pick three. Are you seeing these things that are viral all over the internet?
I've seen it. My buddy Rob Mayer, who is a hilarious comic in the D.C. area, he made me slap my knee yesterday. He goes, pick three, and it was just a series of numbers, one through nine.
That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, this is the new thing now. Yeah. Some of them are fun, and some of them are like, ah, probably could have done without that. But the one that stumped me hard last night was a graphic of, like, nine things that you buy at the concession stand at a sports game. So it was popcorn, beer, pizza, popcorn, peanuts, nachos, soda, pretzels, french fries, and you got to pick three. I must have stared at this graphic. It was one of those things where you kind of you come to your senses after like 10 minutes, and you're like, what the hell am I doing? Why do I care about this?
Why?
I was sitting there debating this last night at like 11 o'clock for 10 minutes. I couldn't stop looking at this thing, and I'm like, you know what? This doesn't matter at all. I'm weeding out beer, which everyone starts with, because, man, it's beer. It's so cool, right? So I'll take that one out. I'm going to go soda. I'm going to go french fries. And then the third is a debate between popcorn, pizza, or probably a pretzel. I'm gonna say popcorn to go with my french fries and my soda. But some of these, man, I just find myself sitting here staring at them wondering.
Not easy.
When will I come up with an answer? How will this work?
How do you answer this? It's like a favorite child. And I saw you, I believe it was your sister-in-law, spoke for a lot of us when you just casually dismissed nachos. We've had this discussion and debate, and your lack of understanding of the joy of nacho has been frustrating. I, too, eliminated nachos out of there as a ballpark food just because of the mess, and it's very hard to get a good receptacle for your nacho, to get a good cheese distribution. So I probably would choose a pretzel or fries over the nacho, but the frustrating thing was that we ended up at the same place where I eliminated nachos, but you did it in a dismissive and hurtful way, and I did it out of I hate to lose nachos kind of way.
So like when you're in eighth grade and you're taking some test and you see 400 times 500, you go through the multiple choices and you're looking for numbers that end with some zeros because you know that it has to. And then there's a number that ends in like an 8, and you go, oh, it can't be this one. I'll slash this. It can't be A.
I eliminate one answer off the SAT.
That was nachos for me. I saw nachos, and I said, okay, now we're down to 8 decisions to make. And then I saw beer, and I crossed that one off. I said, okay, now we're down to 7 decisions to make. And it was increasingly difficult from that point forward. Now, speaking of difficult, the Redskins have a tough choice at number 2. Here's something you haven't heard many people say. Yesterday, we had Clinton Portis on the show at 1:30. If you missed that, you should podcast it. He was excellent. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio. Easy ways to podcast. Or, of course, if you've got radio.com and you're listening that way, you can just toggle back 24 hours at a time with our rewind function. Slide that little thumb to the left when we're off the air today. I'm back in time through yesterday. But Portis doesn't want to draft Chase Young at number 2. And his logic, while that initially sounds crazy, is they have a really good defensive line already. They don't have any other really good positions. Should they take another lineman, even if he's great, when they're above league average there, as opposed to addressing another area of need where they have a plethora of them that is well below satisfactory at the league level? This was Portis yesterday on what he'd do with the second pick.
But you need to start getting all your rooms to match the D-line room. So bringing Chase Young into an already crowded defensive line room, there's nothing wrong with Chase Young. I think his game is excellent. I'm just more impressed with Isaiah Simmons because this is a one-of-a-kind guy. You know, we missed out on Derwin James a couple years ago, and you look at this situation, you look at Isaiah Simmons and everything that he can do. You know, we all saw him run at Pro Day, and we've seen him attack and get downhill. We've saw him get after the quarterback. You see him in coverage. So I just think it's more intangibles. And not the Redskins don't have one need. They have a lot of needs. And you have one player that can fill a few needs compared to one player that feels, you know, the needs that get to the quarterback.
Danny, Isaiah Simmons is an exceptional defensive weapon. Mm-hmm. He is distinctive. There is one of that guy, okay? I love Isaiah Simmons to the point where if somebody called up today and said, you can't draft Chase Young at number two, you got to move back to number five, let the Dolphins come up and get Tua, then take the best player on the board, maybe it's Simmons at number five, and pick up some picks while doing that, I think that's a really good idea. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
What stunned me about Portis yesterday, he looked at Simmons' 104 tackles and 16.5 TFLs and 8 sacks and 3 picks and 8 passes defended and his 2 forced fumbles and a fumble recovery last year. And he's saying, take him at number 2. I even asked him. I followed up in the conversation. I said, so you mean like trade back and then target Simmons? And he basically said, what's the difference between taking him at 2 and 5? If he takes a player at number 2, he would take Isaiah Simmons, not Chase Young. Wow.
Yeah. Now, here's the thing. I wouldn't necessarily do that. You know what I would do? Because to me, Simmons is the Chase Young of linebackers. Jeff Okuda is the Chase Young of cornerbacks. And I think they're way more desperate there than they are at a spot where they have 3 first-rounders over the last 3 years, plus Kerrigan and Matt Ioannidis, who they just finished paying. I think Chase Young's going to be really good. I'm in lockstep with Portis there. To me, though, I go, I have all these holes in my dam, and I'm going to reinforce my already strongest spot. And I know you can't draft for need, but I think there's got to be a marriage of positional need and availability. Like, if you've got a Hall of Fame quarterback, you don't just draft a quarterback each and every year in the first round because he's the best player on your board. That's obviously an extreme example, but the logic I like. That said, if I'm staying at 2, I'm putting Chase Young down on the card and I turn it in. Because he, to me, is the best player in this draft that's not a quarterback, and I'm probably, honestly, going to trade somebody that I've already got on my defensive line. I maybe spin Montez Sweat for a second rounder or something. I've got to fill out the rest of my roster, and I got to do that some way. I think Young is going to be exceptional. But to me, the trade back scenario is the golden goose here, where you pick up a Jeff Okuda or a Simmons, whoever's there at 4, 5, 6, depending on who trades up with you. You get that guy, and then you add another first-round wide receiver or an offensive tackle where you are desperate to improve that side of the football. But his stance of, you just stay at 2 and take Simmons, I went, whoa, I don't know that I would do that.
And it speaks to how high he is on Simmons, number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, sure.
But I also think the most important element of this, and this is what cannot be forgotten here, is he believes that the Redskins' defensive line is really good. And his point is, if you're already set in terms of being league adequate or better at that spot, you have nothing but deficiencies everywhere else. Why bolster the one area of your team that is built best? Why not address one of your other bevy of needs? I don't think that's bad logic at all. I just think at number 2 overall, it is flawed. And what I would say is that Chase Young is so good and so special and has a chance to be such a game changer that, with all due respect to the good defensive line the Redskins have, what has that gotten them? Having a good defensive line means you've got Daron Payne, who we like, who's nice. We have John Allen, who's a nice player. We've got Matt Ioannidis, who's a talented guy in this city. How many of them have made a Pro Bowl? Zippy. No, I think that they will, but they haven't yet. I have a lot better confidence that they would if they had Chase Young demanding double teams and them getting one-on-one matchups next year, a la San Francisco with all the guys that broke out and got paid and are suddenly viewed as stars after Nick Bosa showed up for the 49ers last year. But what do you think of Portis' argument? He says, your D-line's good, everything else is not. Don't take Chase Young for that reason. I happen to think Young is so good that it doesn't matter if the D-line's good. Let's make it great. Let's make it elite. What about you guys? 800-636-1067. Does the fact that, and nobody would argue, that the Redskins' D-line is their biggest strength in any way factor into what you think they should do with Young on the board at number 2, yes or no? Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Clinton Portis was on the show yesterday. We asked him about the Redskins' number 2 overall pick. You know, several weeks ago when we initially had him on, he was team trade back, it sounded like. Now, you need too much. You can't just take Chase Young. Now, he does like the player, and he admits that he thinks Young is a freak and he will be very good. But there's another guy he would target at number 2, and he's drafting as much as anything. know, kind of breaking a tie between two players he loves based on need. I'm a big fan of drafting for need in the later rounds, you know, in the mid rounds perhaps. Early on, I'm just taking the guy who's got a chance to wear the gold jacket. But this was Portis yesterday right here on the Fan.
But you need to start getting all your rooms to match the D-line room. So bring in Chase Young into an already crowded defensive line room. There's nothing wrong with Chase Young. I think his game is excellent. I'm just more impressed with Isaiah Simmons because this is a one-of-a-kind guy. You know, we missed out on Derwin James a couple years ago. And you look at this situation, you look at Isaiah Simmons and everything that he can do. You know, we all saw him run at Pro Day, and we've seen him attack and get downhill. We've saw him get after the running, I mean the quarterback. You see him in coverage. So I just think it's more intangibles. And not the Redskins don't have one need. They have a lot of needs. And you have one player that can fill a few needs compared to one player that fills, you know, the needs at getting to the quarterback.
If he was talking about, like, your third-round pick here and forgetting what you do at number two, say Young or otherwise, but you're debating between a down defensive lineman or, say, an edge rusher and an inside linebacker, what he's saying makes perfect sense to me, Danny, because how many linemen do you need? You know, how many guys that might be Allen or Payne or Ioannidis do you need? I would tell you as many as possible, but at what cost when you're risking not improving your roster in other spots?
When there are gaping holes everywhere for a three-win team, you know, where you've got a young quarterback in dire need of weapons and protection. It, you know, it's cool we shored up this defensive line. That is the strength of the team. Now, is it a strength league-wide? No, not yet. You're hoping that maybe a new coach unlocks some of that, but it's not. This is a group that's not ready to dominate games just yet, despite the heavy investment. So to me, it's very logical. I 100% understand what Portis is saying in that regard. I think the difference is where you evaluate guys like Simmons and, in my case, Okuda. I love both those players, by the way, and would be thrilled beyond compare to get him at 5 or 6 or later on in the first round or whomever it is, right? Any of these wonderful toys that are coming out in the first round.
Picture that for a second. You go down to 5. I don't think you could get Okuda there, but just in this fake world we're living in, you go down to 5, and you either take Okuda or Simmons, and you add another first rounder or two from Miami this year, and you have two more players plus one of those guys coming in, I would be ecstatic. Now,
yeah,
I know people
that's
largely would be upset.
Or that's CeeDee Lamb. Yeah, I mean, that's multiple potential stars for you.
But
people
would
be upset,
learned.
Though. You're right.
Redskins fans have just talked themselves into Chase Young or the draft was a failure.
Yep.
I don't really know where that came from. I am high on him like everybody else is. I don't know how many of these people who have Chase Young on their avatars watched all of his games at Ohio State. You know, how many of them are Buckeyes fans who knew about this guy a year ago going into the season? They've just decided it has to be him. And if it is, I think that's a huge victory for the Redskins.
Yep.
And you don't pick in the second round. You get ready to get a corner or a defensive back maybe in the third round. And you worry about tight end and tackle after that. But if it's not Chase Young, and if they do trade back, this is not the Portis plan of taking Simmons at 2, but you get, let's say, Simmons at 5, mm-hmm. with another first rounder or two from Miami this year, and maybe a second rounder from Miami this year. If you only get 1-1 in addition to the number 5 pick from Miami of their allotment this season, then you need their second next year, or their second this year, and another one at least, maybe another 2 next year, something like that. But if you get all those picks with Simmons, you can't call in the day after the draft later this month and scream at the Redskins. I just think that would be foolish. But I get the sense some people will, by the way.
Yeah, they've got their heart set because they read everything that we read, right? And in order to have, you know, we keep raising the bar for how we evaluate these players, right? You know, 10 years ago, this was Jadeveon Clowney, right? Where this was the most, we used to use words like can't miss. Now it's words like generational, right? That's the new thing. The new is someone great? No, they're generational, just to let you know. This is a really good prospect. And maybe, according to people that are really smart and do this, again, I'm reading the same things you are. He's a better prospect at this point than other guys that have been, you know, really successful in the NFL, right? That have shown all the aptitude, and he projects to be even better than those guys. So each year you're raising the bar. And again, nobody's telling you that Chase Young isn't an incredible prospect. But I think this is all, you know, you have to look at some context, A, of the team that he's going to, B, what threshold would he have to cross to make it worth it to turn down Isaiah Simmons and CeeDee Lamb? What threshold would he have to cross to be worth, you know, not ending up with, again, Jeff Okuda somehow and, you know, Mekhi Becton or, you know, or Wirfs or whomever to fill glaring holes on this roster? To me, I think it's an unrealistic expectation of how great this guy would have to be in order to do that, in order to get you the value. Again, worst case scenario, you touched on it. You don't get the offer you want. Very reasonable to just write Chase Young down and hand it in or fax it in or hold up a sign from home, however they're going to do the draft this year.
There's also, it's going to be funny to watch, by the way. I mean, there's a lot of different wacky draft things that are going to make this must-see TV in a way that it hadn't been in a long time. But there's a pecking order, maybe a ladder, so to speak, of positional value in the National Football League as well, where the quarterback position is number one far and away. And then after that, you kind of let other things trickle in as you value them. And each team might have a different-looking ladder from top to bottom. For me, I view pass rusher second behind quarterback now. If you would have had this conversation with me 5 years ago, I probably would have said left tackle. The Blind Side came out, and one of the first scenes or little lines in that movie is Sandra Bullock talking, and she goes, the quarterback position averages $22.3 million per year. The left tackle position averages $13.6 million per year, numbers approximate. That's because it's the second most important position. You're protecting his blind side. And they see, like, Joe Theismann breaking his leg and everything. That is a little bit antiquated at this point. Not to say that it's not still a vital position. It obviously is. Look at the value. Look at what people pay. But I would put quarterback, then pass rusher. I might even debate corner versus left tackle at this point. But if it's not corner right there, then it's fourth behind the left tackle position. But I bring this up only to say you cannot dismiss a potentially excellent world eater at the pass rushing position. If it's a left tackle and Portis is saying that, okay, maybe. Mm-hmm. If it's a, you know, the best running back in college football of all time, obviously. If it's the best safety, if this is LaRon Landry or Sean Taylor or something, those are conversations you can have. But you're talking about pass rusher. It's almost like quarterback. If you don't have great ones, you don't have a shot. And that's why you can't lose if you go Chase Young, as far as I'm concerned, assuming he doesn't bust in a big way.
Right. So for me, that hierarchy, and it's interesting you bring that up, the quarterback is such a different thing in terms of sports and positions. There is nothing else like it in the world, right, just in terms of its import. Maybe you would say in the NBA, like one superstar. So this is the equivalent. You're going to draft your Mr. Do-Everything, right? The quarterback is so critical. It's an anomaly in football. So that's its own category. And all my rules for picks and accumulation of things go out the window when it comes to the QB. So then for everybody else, the other 21 spots, it used to be, as you said, left tackle and now somebody to rush the passer. The way I view it now is the number two spot is disrupting the pass. Who can disrupt the pass? If that's an elite cornerback, if he's a better prospect or as good a prospect as a defensive lineman, that can be my pick. If it's a great safety, even though the league doesn't view the safety position that way, if it's a middle linebacker that can cover every running back out of the backfield or every tight end, whoever can disrupt the pass the best is my number two spot. And a lot of times it's going to be that pass rusher, right? Just getting pressure, whether it's up the middle, Derek Brown in this year's draft or Chase Young on the outside. That's kind of my number two thing. And then my number three thing is a pass enabler on offense. That's my hierarchy at this point. It can come in a bunch of different ways.
Grant and Danny on 106.7 The Fan. We've talked about COVID-19, this coronavirus pandemic, possibly costing Alex Ovechkin a legitimate chance to catch Wayne Gretzky. It might also cripple Mike Trout's chances to chase down one of the greats ever. We can get into that next on G&D Plus next hour. I want to talk Major League Baseball trying to give a season a go with odd rules. Should we do everything we can to get some baseball in, even if it doesn't look like what we're used to? And Ron Rivera spoke to reporters yesterday. We've got to react to many of these newsy things that he had to say right here on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.